Let me invite you this morning, before we dive in, to turn to your neighbor and say, who needs sleep? I'd rather be here with you anyway. Let me go ahead and dismiss the youngest among us. You are released, free to go. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, Ruth. Much appreciated. For the rest of us, I'm going to try to keep you awake this morning. We are going to head back to 1 John, continue our journey through 1 John. Again, a letter that is not really centered on what to believe, but more on how to live, how to do life. And so, let's head there, page 862, if you're grabbing a pew Bible, the words will be on the screen behind me. Let's read the text, and then we'll pray, and then we will get after it. This is 1 John 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 18. John writes, we read, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But, verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, verse 27, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for, even though it's a bit earlier, thank you for the gift of gathering together. Thank you for your word to us, your words. Pray, Lord, today they would speak to us and give shape to our lives. So we pray, come pour out your presence, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, be in and over and under and all through my words, that I would speak your heart, and may, when we leave here today, we leave changed, a bit different than when we first came in. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky, and water bears them. As hawks rest upon air, and air sustains them, so would I learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace. That is John's message to us today, that we might all fall in Creator Spirit's deep embrace. And yet John knows all too well how easy it is for us to go sideways. How quickly, and we can think back to last week, how quickly we can get turned around, Our lives become disordered, out of alignment. We become out of alignment with God and others, right? All the voices that are pushing and pulling at us. And before we know it then, right? All these voices pulling at us, out of alignment, all of that. And before we know it, our affections, our decisions, our desires, our imagination begins to revolve around something else, right? Something other than the heartbeat of Jesus. And John gets that. And so again today, he speaks into all of that. Verse 18, "Dear children," he writes, "this is the last hour." Noting when John says the last hour, he is not getting out his calendar. This is not some kind of a countdown. This is language that is rooted in Jewish history, where time is understood as happening in two movements. There is the present age and there is the age to come. And John here says that future age, he says, it is coming, it is here and now in Jesus. And so the question is no longer when will it happen. The question is what voice or voices will we allow to shape our lives? This is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, keeping in mind the Antichrist here, do not think of a horror movie villain. Simply, this means against or in place of Christ. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And so John here is speaking really of anything that influences us away from Jesus. Anything that tries to remove God from the center of our lives. Anything that wants to take the place of God at the center of our lives. Even now, many of these, we could say, voices have come, right? Voices that, again, that want to reshape your life and mine. This is how we know, he says, it is the last hour. He goes on, "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us." And so in effect here, John is saying belonging is not proven by what we say. Belonging is revealed by how we do life. Which is why their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But verse 20, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." In other words, you are not alone. Right? You are not without direction. Right? The Spirit of God is at work in you and with you. Which is why, again, he continues, "I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it." And then he begins to speak about the voices again and the confusion and the kind of the voices competing. And then here, "As for you," verse 24, "see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you." And keep that word "remains" in mind. "If it does, you also will," and again we read, "remain in the Son and in the Father." And this is what he promised us, eternal life. This remaining is eternal life. "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you," verse 27, "the anointing you received from him," and again, "remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." Over and over and over again, John speaks of remain. Over and over, in the midst of all of the voices, the pushing and the pulling, the reordering and rearranging, John repeats and calls us to remain. Meno in the Greek, it means to stay, to reside, to dwell. Remain, John says, right, in Jesus. Poetically speaking, we could say remain in Creator Spirit's deep embrace. And notice how John then frames it, and we can think back to last week again here. He frames it, verse 24, see that what you have heard, he says, from the beginning remains in you. And for those who were listening that day, that phrase, from the beginning, would have grabbed their attention. That from the beginning would draw them to what is the central confession of the Jewish faith. What is the central confession, really, we could say, of our faith. Central to the Torah. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Right, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then notice what comes immediately after that. It says these commandments, that's the Hebrew ha-devarim. This is kind of a contextual theological interpretation. It literally means these words. Some interpreters take it to mean take a broader context in mind, and so they say these commandments. Literally, it means these words. I would argue that ha-devarim, these words, refers back to ve'ahavta, right? You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all of the you that is you. These words, he says, right? These words of love. He says, these words shall be upon your heart, meaning these words, they are meant to be alive in you, not merely remembered, not every once so often revisited. These words are to be in you and alive in you, which is why the Shema then continues and it says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, right? Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, this life, right, think love for God, made complete, finding its fullness in love for one another, was never meant to be an occasional thought. It was always meant to shape the whole rhythm of our lives. Remain. Stay, reside, dwell, right, in Him, in Jesus, in Creator Spirit's deep embrace, right? Because again, as we saw last week, this is not about rule keeping. This is not about getting all the right answers. John says this is about remaining. Remaining in a life that is shaped by love. Remain, John says. Right? When the voices grow louder, remain. When life is pulling you sideways, John says, remain. When the world is trying to get at the very center of your heart, John says, remain. Right? These words of love, John says, remain. It's as simple and profound as that. And so I want to invite us, as we do, to sit and to reflect and to consider what voices have been shaping the center of my life lately. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of voices in my head at times, and they're not very nice. Unfortunately, I listen to them quite often. What does that look like for you? What voices have been shaping the center of your life lately? What might that look like for you? What might be crowding out God at the center of my life? How am I being pulled out of alignment with God? How am I being pulled out of alignment with others? And then with that, what might it look like in that place for God to shape the way I live? Where might love be inviting me to respond differently in that relationship, that situation? What practice might I engage that helps me remain in Creator Spirit's deep embrace? What practice might I engage? Well, let's sit for a few moments, and then Chris will come and the worship team to close. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you.